Good morning and a good Erev Shabbos. Here we are. We are on the second, we're on Daf Lamed Aleph. Hold on a second, it's a little bit tall. Okay, is it good? Great. Okay, we're on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, just about 10 lines down or so. We're at the Gemara, High Talmud Lomar. We were just a little bit behind earlier this week. We had some very, very deep Kachim Gemaras, as we discussed the Chametz Chaim, all about learning, the significance of the learning about Tum and Tar and all the Kachim stuff. So now we're kind of moving forward. This next Amud mostly is really a review. It's Chazar from the first couple blot that we had in Maseches Sota, the Psukim behind 1 aid, 2 aid, how many, Kinoi Stira, and the Tumah, the Psukim behind it. It'll really, really flow. Then we get into Bezrat Hashem, the seventh Perek of Maseches Sota, which is an exciting parak. We begin to get back into deep agadata for much of the rest of the Masechta. Towards the end of Masechta, every page is just like huge, also just like the words, like it was back in the first parak. Today's daf is daf Lamed Beis. Some exciting stuff. We're going to get to a lot, what needs to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, what needs to be said, what can be said in English or any other language. That's coming up on the Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Beis, in the lave of Maseches Sota. Let's get started from about 10 lines down on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. Hi, Talmud Lomar, ki matzo ba'ervas dovar. We had Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. Thank you. We had in the Mishnah. We had in the Mishnah, towards the end of the Mishnah, Kinoi and Stira. We remember what the first Tosfos said on the Perek, on the sixth Perek. It said, we're not sure what this Mishnah is doing here. We're not sure why we're bringing up Kinoi and Stira again. We just went through the whole process. We went through also about the water checking her, and all of a sudden we're going back to first para kind of stuff. Anyways, Tosas leaves it as a kasha, so we're going to continue through here. Hi, Tamalomar, ki matzo ba'ervas dovar. Tamalomar ba. We had in the Mishnah, we proved that the reason why we need 2 for kinoi, and potentially 1 for stira, is because we had the gzer shava of dovar dovar from Dini Mamanus. Says the Gemara, Tamalomar ba. Ba, right? We had the word ba so often in the first couple days that we learned together. Ba v'lo b'kinoi, ba v'lo b'stira. Aid ain ba. We discussed that a lot. And therefore, that ba should indicate that we do need 2 for kinoi. We just don't need 2, maybe for the stira, certainly for the tumah. Ba v'lo b'kinoi, ba v'lo b'stira, mi ba'ile. Thank you so much. So, hachinami kamar, says Mara, you're right. Tamalomar ba, ba v'lo b'kinoi, ba v'lo b'stira. We have that word ba. We discussed that a lot. Ba means v'edein ba. We'll have that shortly again. And therefore, we know that we don't need 2 for it. V'toma ba'alma v'lo kinoi, u'b'lo stira, d'lo mehem an edachod heminolan. But where do we know that general tuma, non-sota kind of tuma, without the previous kinoi and stira that came before it, that we don't believe eid echod, where do we know that from? Nemar kan davar, v'nemar la'alon davar. Ma la'alon b'shneidim, af kan b'shneidim. You're right. The general davar-davar link, kimatza ba ervas davar, general issues of erva, that it needs 2, and dine mamanis, that it needs 2. We had the pasuk in the Mishnah, al-pi shnayim edim yakum davar, so davar and davar, that we have an indication that even when there's no kinoi and stira, we generally need 2. But we have, and of course we know the words very well, they're ringing out in our ears every day now, raglayim ladavar, because the woman went through kinoi and she went through stira, and therefore we're able to roll through the fact that 1 should indicate where she's holding. Eid Omer Nitmes, says the Gemara. We had a few cases in the Mishnah, very interesting cases towards the end of the Mishnah. What happens if, just to repeat, because we're going to go through these cases now back and forth, it's going to get very tedious. So, about midway, about 7 lines down from the top of the page, Eid Omer Nitmes, Eid Omer Lo Nitmes. What happens if one said she is Tame, and another one said Lo Nitmes, or Isha Omeris Nitmes, Isha Omeris Lo Nitmes. What happens if one woman said yes, one and one said no? Haisa Shos, in those cases, she would drink. As Rashi explained, they cancel each other out. Echad Omer Nitmes, Ushnaim Omer Lo Nitmes. What happens if one said yes and two said no? Haisa Shos, and Rashi there explained that the 2 were really saying that the 1 wasn't really there at that time. But what happens if 2 said yes and 1 said no? And Laya shows that she wouldn't drink because, of course, 2 established the fact, and therefore we establish the fact that she was mentame. Okay, let's go through some of these cases right now. Eight Omer Init Meis, says the Gemara, about halfway down on the Yaman. Time of the Kamachashle. Hello, Kamachashle, Eid Echad Mehemon. What do we derive from this case of the Mishnah? That it's Lo Haisa Shose because. Right, the Haisa Shose in this case, that where one says she is Tame, one says she's not Tame, and they cancel each other out. Rashi said it's only because they cancel each other out, but what happens if they didn't cancel each other out? Eid Echad Mehemon. Then we would believe one. Because the only reason why she is Shosa, again, she had Kinoi, she had Stira, okay? One said she is Tum, and now she had Adam for both. She's about to go drink. One aide came and said, oh, wait, no, Mrs. So-and-so, she is Tame. Another came and said, no, Mrs. So-and-so, she is not Tame. So we say, you both cancel each other out. We're still going to go drink the Sota waters. But what happens if one did not come and say that? It seems to imply that one aide is believed. But where do we know one aide is believed? And that's, now let's explain this. The Tanur Rabbanan, as we said, on Daf Beis, it's brought down on the side. We have this on Daf Beis. The aide ain ba, right? The aide ain ba. B'shnayim akasam adaber. This is talking about two. Wait, says the Gemara. At Omer b'shnayim weinu el abechod. Is this two or really is this one aide? Tamalomar lo yakum aide echad b'ish v'gomar. We had another pasuk from Sefer Devarim. That lo yakum aide echad b'ish. Imash b'shnayim lo yakum aide Echad. Isn't the word aid singular? When we say the word aid, don't we know that it's an aid echad? Matam lomar echad. So why do we say the word aid echad in that context? Zepon av. This develops a principle that we use across the Torah. Kol makom shenemar aid harei kan shnayim. That whenever the Torah uses the word aid, it's referring to two. It's not just singular as we would have thought, but it's plural. Achi yifrot lecha hakosav echad. Until the Torah comes to explicate that it's Eid Echad. That's where it's one. Eid Echad is one, but Eid is two. What does it say in the context of Sota? The Eid Ein Ba, which means that how many weren't there? Two. V'amrachamana, Trei Leispa El Echad, V'hilo Nispasa Asura. Two weren't there, only one, and she wasn't forced. And therefore, in that case, she is Usur. Great. V'keman Dimidaraisa Eid Echad Mehemon, continues the Gemara here, which we're about to set up for a fantastic Shaila. V'keman de'midoraisa eid echad mehemon, that because on a de'oraisa level, eid echad is believed by Tumah, idach hechi mati machashle. Then wait, how is one able to cancel her out? We had the case in the Mishnah was what? The first case in the Mishnah? One aide came and said, Tameh. The next aide came and said, sorry? Eino tame, not tame. So it's one and one. But if we believe Eid Echad to be true, then we're establishing the fact that it's true. The fact that one other aid comes and says Eino tame, can that override the first person's? Excellent. So now let's read that inside. V'keven demidarais Eid Echad mehemon by Tumah. Ido hechi matim achshalei. How does the next one contradict that, override that, knock it out? V'amar Ula says, Kol makom shemina Torah eid echad. Ula has a principle that whenever the Torah believes one aid, harei kan shnayim. It's like the testimony of two. Vein dvarav shel echad b'mkom shnayim. And therefore, the one person afterwards is still considered one, just to take away from the two. And therefore, we can't believe the one instead of the two. The two should develop a principle in stone, and the one should not be able to have any say over that. El Amar Ula, so strong is that Shaila, that what does Ula say? Tani, adjust our Mishnah, tweak our Mishnah to say, Lo Haisa Shosa. You're right. In that case, she wouldn't drink. Echein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Haisa Shosa. Rabbi Yitzchak agrees with Ula, Lo Haisa Shosa in our Mishnah. Rabbi Chia, Amar Rabbi Chia says, no, stop changing our Mishnah. I don't like when we do that. Haisa Shosa. She would drink. We don't change the Mishnah. The Rabbi Chia Kashu says, wait, how does Rabbi Chia just pine that? How does he deal with Ula's question? That two develops a strong principle. How do we come back and say that the one is able to override that? Lo Kasha, not a question. What do we say? Kan bevas achas, kan beze achar ze. Beautiful. A concept called Toch Kedei Dibor. that in Rabbi Chiya, when they come right next to each other, when one and one come right next to each other, even two and one come right next to each other, or one which is considered two, and then one comes right afterwards, if the testimony is within Tok Kedei Dibor, which is what? Shalma Alecha Rebbe, it's just 3 words, 2 to 3 seconds or whatever, that kind of time frame. In that sense, the Eidos isn't already established and set in stone until that Tok Kedei Dibor ends. So if the next testimony, the one person comes and says contradictory Eidos right away, it would knock it out before the first person's Eidos was not a false witness, but it just doesn't stand. Well, we're not sure which one's false. If we accept the first one, then the second one seems to be false because it doesn't have enough legs to stand in court. Correct. Next one is, but it's not, in Zomim, for instance, it's not false and we punish the person. You're right, it's false in that it doesn't have enough. I feel like my English is not happening today. I slept about 2 or 3 hours last night. My kids really wanted to hang out too much. So my English is just not at its top form. But the second testimony does not have enough legs to stand on, and therefore the first testimony stands. The second testimony could be false. One of them are false, but we believe the first based on the principles of the Torah. We don't believe the second based, again, on the principles of the Torah. I know, I'm trying to remember. I get emails every day. They're fantastic words, and I should write them down, but anyways, but you're right. I have some really good ones lined up for this week. I don't think so. I don't think so, because that would push people away from court. Again, one person comes, we believe him as if he's two. Another person comes, and we don't believe him. It's not to say that he's for sure false. It's to say that the guide that the framework that the Torah sets up for us is that we believe the first guy, who we consider a group because we believe Eid Echad. Very good. So Edom Zomim is not just testimony that's incorrect. Edom Zomim is where two Edom came and said, you were with us on that day somewhere else. Daf Hei in Maseches Makos. Daf Hei, that mission there, explains what Edom Zomim is. That's a very important principle where there's specific punishment there. But I don't believe that if somebody's not proven to be a false witness, it's just that we just don't believe his testimony in court, then he gets punished.
So that if the second witness came and said, you shouldn't believe the first one because I know that they were somewhere else on that day, that's not the same thing.
Well, then that becomes Edom Zomim. So that is different. And then there will be lashes it if you can't do the kasher zamam. Correct. But if it's just nitmeis and lo nitmeis, which is our case in the Mishnah, then it's not to say that they're Edom Zomim. Tanan, Eid Omer nitmeis, Shnayim Omer lo nitmeis. In the Mishnah again, we had one Eid came and said nitmeis is tame, two said lo nitmeis is not tame, which is not tame, which the Mishnah again explained, which is kind of like you were with us at that time, so it couldn't be that you saw that. Haisa shosa, in that case, she would drink, because again, they knock each other out there, as she was supposed to drink anyways. Hachad v'chad. But what do we infer from this? That's one and two. What if it was one and one? Lo haisa shosa. Then she wouldn't drink. Tiyufta d'Rabbi Chiya. Again, isn't this a proof, d'Rabbi Chiya, that in one versus two, it's lo shosa, but one versus one, she would drink? Amar lecha Rabbi Chiya, no. L'tamech ema seifa. We have the exact opposite indication from the last case of the Mishnah. Shnayim amar nitmeis. Echad amar lo nitmeis. Two say she is tame. One says she's not tame. Lo haisa shosa, she wouldn't drink. Hachad v'chad haisa shosa. Which again, in that case you can say hachad v'chad haisa shosa, then she would drink. So it depends which case of the Mishnah you take, but whichever way you look at it, it's not clarifying one principle as to the one-on-one case. Elo kula v'psulei edus. So what is the Mishnah referring to? The psulei edus. People that are usually puzzled in edus. Rebbe Nechemyah, and it's within Rebbe Nechemyah. Why? The Tani, we learned in Ebraisa. Rebbe Nechemyah omar kol melkom shimin ator eid echad halach achar rov deos. Then whenever the Torah believes in eid echad, then we go after rov deos, which means that if we have two pasul eidim and one kosher eid, we hold like the two pasul eidim, rov deos, the majority, kind of the more people that there are. V'asu shtei nashim be'ish echad, and we would believe two women who are usually not believed, but in cases where they are, we would believe two women be'ish echad against one man, kishnei anashim be'ish echad, like we would generally believe two men against one man. Vikadamri, or alternatively, kol echad asayid echad kosher meikara, whenever there's one aid that's kosher originally, he becomes like two, he has the strength of two, afilu me'an noshim namikid echad damyon. And even if there's 100 women that come afterwards, they are just considered like all together like one aid. But the one man is considered like two. And these are kind of two approaches as to how we can answer some of the shahs before about one and two. One says yes and two say no, and how we answer.
So it's a rush to get to court first. Whoever gets there first wins.
Depends. Certainly sometimes you know, even in the business world, you know, first to market, there are benefits to being first to market, right? Making the first impression. But it depends. Is it one or is it two? Because if one aide comes and says something in court and then two aide come and say something in court, generally we'll believe the two that are afterwards. We won't believe the one. Only in certain circumstances would we believe one as if they were two. And then depending on the structure. But you're right. If two people come and establish a principle and then one person comes and tries to contradict it, that won't work. So you're right. It depends on the context. Right, in the last two cases of the Mishnah, where we're talking about Psuli Adam again, so Kigon Dasoi Isha Meikar. So really, a woman came originally. And here's the way we understand Rabbi Nechemi, who says that we're talking about Psuli Adus. Rabbi Nechemi Omar Kol Makom Shemina Torah Eid Echad. That Rabbi Nechemi says that whenever the Torah believes Eid Echad, Halach Acha Rovdeos, that that's going according to Rovdeos. Which is only against a possible aid. But asu shtei nashim beisha achas, and we would hold two women over one woman, kishnei anashim beish echad, like we would believe two men over one man. Aval shtei nashim beish echad, but to say that two women are believed over one man, ki palga palga dami. No, it's not the case. It's like a 50-50 there, and they'll knock each other out.
But, so he doesn't hold of rove deos, or he does?
He does hold of rove deos. Right, that seems to contradict the first answer that we had before the Ve'ikadamri. The Ve'ikadamri said, okay, let's leave that as a tzarfian. Thank you very much, Ellie. But let's try to look into that afterwards, okay? Why do you have those two cases at the end of the Mishnah, which are both cases of psuli edus? Why can't we just use one to establish the principle? I might have thought to say that let's use the rov deos only in cases of chumra, which means that she should drink the sota water. And that's where we would rely on this principle. Avala kula lo, and Rashi explains kula is that she would not drink the waters. Shelo tisha, that she wouldn't drink. Kamashmala, no, these two cases of the Mishnah hold within Rabbi Nechemia that the rov deos are either to drink or not to drink the waters, but either way, we would hold the rov deos in those cases in the Mishnah. Hadrach Mishakine. Masav on the sixth parak of Masechta Sota, and welcome to the seventh parak of Masechta Sota. This again, as I said before, this is a very, very, very big halacha lamaisa kind of sugya here in terms of what needs Lashon HaKodesh, what can be said in any language. This is action-packed in terms of what we do today. And again, the source and why we're bringing this up is Sota. In the Sota process, does the Kohen have to go through and say all these phrases in Hebrew, or can he say it in French, in German, in Spanish, in Russian? If this woman's from that locale, does he have to use Hebrew, which are the psukim in the Torah, or can he use any language that is brought up? Says the Mishnah, Eilin Amarin b'chol lashon. The following can be said in any language. Any language. Tosfos says, of course, very important principle. Uperish kol adam bilshono shehu shomeya. It's not just any language. Like if, great, the Kohen Gadol wants to speak Russian today because he's in the mood because he went to a Russian class, but she speaks English. No, that won't work. It's any language that the person understands. So it's very important. It's not just any language random, but if we're going to speak another language, we have to really understand it. Very important. So Ilanamar Bakal Lasham. Correct. 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 Which is Shema, Shmona Esrei, other cases that are about to come up. When do we have to say it in Hebrew? When do we not have to say it in Hebrew? Parshas Sota, Ilanamar Bakal Lasham, the first one, Parshas Sota, which is why we're bringing it up. And Ramosha Feinstein very importantly says that if we're going to say it in Lashon HaKodesh, meaning that the fact that we can say it in any language indicates and explains to Moshe Feinstein that if we're going to say it in Lashon HaKodesh, then the woman has to understand it. You can't just bring it up. The fact that we're opening it up, especially in certain cases, like Sota, we're warning her. We're trying to scare her. If she doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, then it's not going to work. So sometimes Tefillah has the potency, which we're going to explain soon, to be able to make something happen even if we don't fully understand it. But oftentimes the person has to understand what's taking place. For instance, Parsha Sota. Vidui Meiser. Vidui Meiser is the case, of course, we know the general years of Meiser. Years 1, 2, 4, and 5 is Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. Years 3 and 6 is Meiser Sheni. Rashi explains all the psukim here as to how we learn that out. Feel free to take a look at the first wide line in Rashi. And there's a Vidui Meiser, which is a Shvua, or some sort of Vidui, which the person says that he brought everything as he should have. Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, again, can be said in any language. The Shulchan Aruch says Shema can be said in any language. That's the Psak. Mishnah Berurah expresses, again, how the importance of Lashon HaKodesh if we're able to say it in Lashon HaKodesh. And if I remember correctly, it's Rav Pinkus who says in Sharm B'Tzvila, a very powerful line, that sometimes, if there's a big wall in front of us, big, thick wall, so the way to get like a package to the side of the wall, you can either try to throw like really, really, really high up around the wall, or if you take like dynamite inside this, you know, inside this package and you throw it really hard at the wall, blow up the wall, and it'll go through the other side of the wall. If I remember correctly from years ago, I think it's from Pinkus that explains that Lashon HaKodesh has that dynamite type ability, that when it hits something or when we speak it, the words that Dan Shekhinah Sangola put together for us are so potent, are so powerful, have such meaning that it takes our tefillos to whole new heights. And that's some of the power behind Lashon HaKodesh. Again, as Mishnah Berurah said, if we're able to understand it, if we're able to appreciate that, if we're able to do so. Utfila, Shmona Esrei. It doesn't have to be in Lashon HaKodesh, but of course we know that the first bracha has to really, really be understood. That's very important, the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Uberchas HaMazon, Ushvuas HaEdos. Shvuas HaEdos is if somebody says, you know testimony for me, please testify for me. The person says, I don't know. I don't know the Eidos, he makes a Shvua. So in those cases, again, still, Ushvuas HaPikadon, the person says, you have my object, you don't have my object. In those cases where he makes a Shvua, they do not have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Perhaps the common denominator here is that he has to really understand what he's saying. Ve'ilin Amar in Lashon HaKodesh, the following has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh only. Mikra Bikurim, when the person brings his first fruits, the Bikurim, the Chalitza, spitting in the shoe. Brachos Uklolos, the Gemara is going to explain. Brachos in Sefer Yoshua, when the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua, brachos on the clothes on Har Grizim and Har Ebal, birchas Kohanim, the bracha of the Kohanim, ubirchas Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's bracha that he gives to Klal Yisrael right after Yom Kippur, uparshas Hamelech, the Melech on Chol HaMoed of Sukkot after Shemitah by Hakel. Parshas Egla Rufa, what happens if there's a dead body between two cities and the elders of the cities come and said, you know, we do not, there's a whole thing that they have to say. U'mashuach melchama b'shash medaber el am. And the coin, Mashuach melchama, the coin who's designated to go out to war, at the time when he speaks to the people when they go out to war. As Rashi explains, he brings up the psukim again, and here's where he says, don't be afraid, Hashem is on your side. It'd be interesting to see actually like what the common denominator of these are, because sometimes it would be helpful if it wasn't just said in Lashon HaKodesh if they didn't speak Lashon HaKodesh. So it doesn't seem too clear right here. When he's telling the people, don't be afraid, Hashem's on your side, maybe the people just came from France to help join in the army. They don't understand Hebrew. So why say that Hashem's on your side? Maybe not, right? Perhaps. So does Shema, and so does Shmona Esrei, and some of the other cases we had before, which can be said in any language. Anyways, interesting. Mikra Bikurim Ketzad, where the psukim. Now let's go through some of the psukim, which prove this thesis of the Mishnah. Mikra Bikurim, what is the case of Mikra Bikurim that it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh? V'nisav amartof ne'ashem elokecha. The Torah says in Zevar Devarim that we're going to v'nisav amartof ne'ashem elokecha. Ulalamu omer, and by Har Grizim in Areval, it says v'anu halvim v'amru. So the fact that we have v'anu v'anu, ma'ala halon v'lashon HaKodesh, just like we know that the brachos and calls on Har Grizim and Areval are in Lashon HaKodesh, afkan v'lashon HaKodesh. So to hear by Bikurim, it's Lashon HaKodesh. By the way, Har Grizim and Areval, what's the connection, right? But not only what's the connection, the Mepharshim jump out and ask, is the only one that has no applicability afterwards. All these cases are generally halach lamais, or even at least when the base of mixture is sounding halach lamais. This is like what took place in Har Grizim and Areval. Why don't you tell us also what was the conversation like between Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esau? You know, who cares if this has no halachic ramifications? So I saw an answer that even though it might not be in effect in the future, but as we see now in these psukim, we're bringing that as the model for many other cases of Lashon HaKodesh. So we bring it down in the Mishnah, and now we're going to use that as the model because we know that was Lashon HaKodesh. We know that others are too, and we can have Gzeir Shava towards them. Chalitza, Ketzad. How do we know that Chalitza has to be Lashon HaKodesh? V'onso v'omra, we say in Chalitza, ulalonu omer. And by how agrees and are able, what do we say? V'anu alvim v'omru. Again, v'onso and v'anu, we make that hekesh. Malon v'lashon HaKodesh, afkan v'lashon HaKodesh. Reb Yehuda Omer, he argues and says, no, we don't need Har Grizim and Areval to prove Lashon HaKodesh by Chalitza. Why? Because within Chalitza itself, we have the psukim that says, v'onso v'amra kacha. You have to say it like this. Ashatomer b'lashon hazeh. This language that the Torah is written, and that is Hebrew. Brachos u'klolos, ketzad. Now, how do we get to that source that we were discussing, brachos and klolos? Kevin Shavar Yisraelis in Yarden, once the Jews passed the Yarden with Yoshua, Bo'al Har Grizim, Vel Har Evel, Sheba Shomron, they got to Har Grizim and Har Evel in the Shomron, Sheba Tzad Shechem, Sheba Eitzel Elonei Moreh, which was in that area, Shenemar Halohema, Beva Hayarden Mechulu, Ulalanu Omer, Vayavor Avram Be'eretz Ad Makom Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh, great, Ma Elon Moreh, Ha'amor Lalon Shechem, Af Elon Moreh, Ha'amor Kan Shechem. So we know the place where that was. That was in the area of Shechem. We know that by Avram. Shisha Shvatim Alo L'Rosh Har Grizim. Six Shvatim went on Har Grizim. V'Shisha Shvatim Alo L'Rosh Har Evel. Six Shvatim went on Har Evel. V'Akonim V'Alvim Aron Omdim L'Mato Bemsa. But the Kohanim and the Levim stood with the Aron in the middle. Akonim Akifin. By the way, just a question. Isn't Shevet Levi the Levim? I just thought of this now. Shevet Levi were all Levium, right? So what does it mean that Kohanim and the Levium and the Aaron stood in the middle? But six Shvatim here and six Shvatim there. Isn't Shevet Levi one of the 12? Yeah, so you're splitting Ephraim and Menashe now into two? Or maybe we'll say that the women and the kids of Shevet Levi went up there?
No, there's 13. Six, and one. There's 13.
We always say 12.
There's only 12 kids, but they're specifically split into 13.
Shifte Yishurim's logo is 12.
I understand. It's 12 because of the 12 tribes, which doesn't include the ladies.
I hear that. Excellent.
The 12 doesn't include the ladies.
Totally. So then we're including Ephraim and Menashe here as two, and we're including Shifte Yishurim.
Which stone refers to the ladies? Or doesn't refer to you, or just counts yours.
So, the Hakonim, Akifin, and Aron, the Kohanim, we're surrounding the Aron, Alvim, and Sakonim, and the Levim, we're surrounding the Kohanim, the Chol Yisrael, Mikan, Mikan, and the Bnei Yisrael were on both sides, six and six on the mounds. Shnemar, the Chol Yisrael, Uzkena, Vishotra, Vishotim, Umdim, Mizel, Mizel, Aron, Vicholo. They were all surrounding the mountains, the officers, they were all surrounding the mountains itself. Havchu, Pneim, Klape, Har Grizim. Now the Mishnah begins to explain in a detail what happened.
There's one example of one that actually becomes a Kohen like afterwards, even though his father was a Kohen. Like there's like, so maybe it's talking about them. About the
the ones that aren't really the priests, the high priests.
Fascinating. If anybody has any further insights, please share. Hafkel Panim Klapei HaGrizim Upasku B'Bracha. They turned their heads. The Levim turned their heads towards HaGrizim. They began with the Bracha. The Torah, by the way, only says the Klalos. Here we explicate that it's Brachos and Klalos. Baruch Ish Asher Lo Yasa Pesel Umasecha. Bless the person who does not make a Pesel Umasecha, some form of image. Elu Ve'elu Onen Amen. And everybody says Amen. Hafkel Panim Klapei HaRebo. On both mountains. Right. Everybody. On both mountains. Then they turn towards Harevel, Pasku B'Klala, Aresha Shiyasa Pesel Umasecha. Curse the person who makes a Pesel Umasecha, some form of image. Velu Velu, and both mountains. Own and Amen. Everybody says Amen. Ancha Gomen Brachos to Klalos, until the Brachos and the Klalos are completed. Vacharka Cheviwa Savanim, they brought a big rock, or big stones. Ubanos HaMizbeach, and they built a Mizbeach. Visaduhu Besid, they plastered it with plaster. And they wrote the whole Torah in 70 languages on these rocks
in the valley.
Rav Sadi Gaon says the whole Torah? 613 mitzvahs. But the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Mechai say no, it was the whole Torah. It was nice. The whole entire Torah on these rocks. Seems like it, right? The whole entire Torah in 70 languages. Unbelievable. Look at our art scroll. How big that art scroll is. Try engraving it on rocks. Shenemar Be'er Heitev explained well. Explained well. Rashi, by the way, on Daf Lamed Hei says that we did this so that the non-Jews can also have a chance to learn Torah. There's no excuses, right? The Torah's down. Torah's down. Don't come and say, oh, we never had the chance. The Torah's there. We put down the Torah in 70 languages so that people have access to it. They can never come and say, we never had the chance. There was never an opportunity for us, especially now with technology. What? Correct. Interesting, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Isbi Zatzal, who used to give the dialogue daf, brings down from the Chedushi HaRim that by motion, the beginning of Sefer Devarim, we also have the words Be'er Heitev. And Rashi there explains that it was in B'Shivim Lashon. Explains the Chedushi HaRim that motion wanted to show the Torah that even to Klal Yisrael, it wasn't showing it to the non-Jews, but he's showing Klal Yisrael that the Torah is applicable, the Torah is relevant. Wherever you go in Golos, know that the Torah is still relevant for you in whatever language it is. Take it with you and make it happen. Amazing, right? The Eternal Torah, let's take advantage of the Eternal Torah. Let's continue to shine here. The Nutlu, interesting how we have this. Perhaps it's connected at the end of the Mishnah that's discussing Elu Ne'amar and B'chol Lashon. I don't know. I just kind of, you know, the beginning of the Mishnah is Elu Ne'amar v'Chaloshon. We can say this in any language. And the Mishnah says that we write it in every language. Perhaps to show that there is relevance by other languages, it's connecting, it's a form of communication.
That's quite interesting. You know, they were slaves for the last 200 years. We had to fluent in all 70 languages.
Maybe it's Levi. You're right. Moshe was, right? No. Mordechai was, right? I mean, Mordechai. Good. So that's a whole separate discussion where we say Aramaic, when we say Aramaic, Brich Shmei, Yikum Pur, why do we say it in certain times, why do we not?
I think the issue there is because Malachim don't understand Aramaic, so what it does is actually brings the Shechina.
So they understand Hebrew, they understand English, or Russian?
Yeah, it says that they understand every language except for Aramaic. When you say Aramaic, like in Pesach, at the beginning, the first sentence you say is in Aramaic in order to bring the Shechina down to your Pesach Seder.
Thank you, David. Menelos Avanim, we took the stones, we go over Lanu, them Koman, they made them into Gilgal, that's where the Mishkan was built for the 7 years of conquering, the 7 years of dividing for those 14 years. It says the Gemara, Parsha Sota Milalan. We had Parsha Sota. Interesting. The Mishnah only brought down the Psukim for what does not have for things that have to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. But we didn't bring down the Psukim for what has to be said or what can be said in any language. So Parsha Sota Milalan. Except Amar Kohen LaIsha, and the Kohen should say to the Isha. Rashi says Mashma Dvarim HaNechnasin Biliba Shetehei Makaras B'Lashon. It's not just that he just has to say to her But he has to say to her that it has to affect her. It's not just Hebrew words that she doesn't fully understand, but she has to understand. They have to enter into her heart. In any language that she'll understand, that's where it has the impact. Tarnabonan, mashmino sa b'chol lashon shehi shomas. Right? We learned that it's any language that she'll understand. Al mahi shosa, uba mehi shosa. We'll explain that shortly. What led her to drink from what she's drinking from, an earthenware vessel, which isn't nice. Al mahi nitmes, the Gemara is going to explain. Uba mehi nitmes, the Gemara is going to explain. So again, al mahi shosa, on why is she drinking al iske kine v'stira? Because she was mekane and she had stira. Uba mehi shosa, what is she drinking from? Dimkira shel cheres. From this earthenware vessel, which isn't exactly all that fancy. Al mahi nitmes, and why is she, how did this all come up? Al iske schok v'yaldos. Literally, levity and childness, immaturity. Rashi says, Chok v'yaldos, very, very powerful. Mi hivia, the second skinny line, the third skinny line in the Rashi. Mi hivia li de tuma, schok v'kalos rosh, kedei liyasers hanoshim, shelo yikalu rosh on imha anoshim. Sh'al yidei kach, because through this levity, through this immaturity, through this promiscuity, bos li de v'tzavsa bitna. One thing leads to another, explains the Rashi, and that can lead her towards being here in the base of Mikdash, drinking the sota waters. But it never just starts with that, as Rashi explains. It's step by step until that comes up. Uba mehi nitmes, when does this happen? B'shogeg obemesed, b'ones oberotzon. We'll explain the cases, right? When, if, how. B'chol kach lama. Very good point. Interesting. Wait, why do we start explaining to her uba mehi nitmes? When will she become tame? Meaning, when will she blow up? If it's b'shogeg, then this, and if it's b'mezid, then if it's b'ones, and if it's b'ratzon, why are we teaching her a whole Torah here? We're going to give her a whole shir about Masechta Sota. V'chol kach lama. All right, let's just let it take its form however it does. Similar to what we had earlier, right? The reason why we should teach our daughters Torah according to one opinion, right? The reason why is because, right? Lest she be a sota, and lest she have been guilty, and she doesn't blow up right away. She should know that the reason is because there's a schusser, right? There's other reasons why we have to teach our daughters Torah. Similar here, and we discussed that there more. But here also, we want to show her that if she is guilty, and if it was shogeg amazing, then depending on the cases, what is going to happen? So she shouldn't think that the mayim hamarim is worthless, is meaningless.
It's kind of ironic because I don't think the Beis Yaakov touches on pan sota at all. No, but it also says that if you teach women, it also says specifically if you teach women Torah, that also makes them become promiscuous. So it's kind of like a mixture.
Vidui meiser. So we got to do this right, guys. We have to allow our schools the a lot of respect for schools. High school, thank you. Vidui Meister. We said that Vidui Meister was one of the cases that can be said in any language. So let's just finish up here in the next few minutes towards the end of the Amud. Vidui Meister, Minel Nixivam, the Amartel Fnash Amakacha, Biarte Kodesh Menavais. That we got rid of everything from the Vais, meaning everything was done right. Vidyolaf Amira Misota. And we learn out the Amira from Sota. Bechol Loshon Shu Omer. Right? Amira, Amira, the Amarta, the Amira. At Bechol Loshon Shu Omer, that same the Amar HaKoin Laisha is similar to the Amarta here. That's in any language. Amarli Rav Zvid LaBayev Leilaf Amira Milavim. Let's take the word Amira Milavim, which said V'amru. Malalan Voshon HaKodesh, Avkan Voshon HaKodesh. Why take it from Sota, which means any language, instead of from the Levim by Hargrizim and Arevo, which is only Voshon HaKodesh? It says, Maradonin Amir Gredosa Me Amira Gredasa. We learn out the Amira of Gredosa, which means Sota's V'amar. And by the Meiser, it's the Amarta, the Eidon Amir, Gredosa, Me'ania, the Amira. Thereby, Hargrizim and Arevo says, V'anu V'amru, which is a greater form. There's kind of two elements there, and therefore we don't have that here. It's just V'amar or V'amarta, so we limit that to any language. But Hargrizim and Arevo is the V'anu has that extra power to it, and we don't learn it from there. Tanya Rashbi Omer, Rishim Ben Yochai says, Adam Omer, Shvacho B'kol Namuch. Person should generally say his shevach b'kol namuch with a lower voice, ugnuso b'kol ram, and his gnuso, his like negative stuff, his embarrassing stuff, louder. Shvacha b'kol namuch. How do we know that? Min vidui meiser. The shevach as the Rashi there explains it, you know, it brings up the psukim, that Shevach, I did everything right, I did it all right, but that we say it more b'kol namoch, min vidoy hamaiser, right? You're right, b'yarki ha-kodesh min abayis, genuso b'kol ram, mimakri b'kurim. But the genuso is said out loud, that's where we learn it from the Bikurim itself. The criticism, correct. Negative, yeah, criticism. Thank you, it's a much better word. What do you mean? We say our genuso b'kol ram? Is that really the approach that we take? Why do we have tefillah belachash? Amida, as Rashi explains. She adam omer tefillah belachash, as Rashi explained. Right? Because we, and that we learn from Chana, tefillah belachash. Why do we say it quietly? Kadesh lo levayish is over aveira. Because we don't want a person to confess his sins out loud. Because we know that in the Beis Hamikdash, Chatas and Ola are both brought Safon of the Mizbeach. They're both brought in the same spot because we don't want people to think, oh, look at that person, he's bringing a Chatas. Oh, that person's Ola, that person's a Chatas. I mean, we don't want to embarrass people. So we have clear that we don't want to embarrass people. Therefore, the Amida, the Shmon Esrei, is quiet so people don't have to hear what other people are confessing in Slach Lanu or in general. And therefore, what do you mean that we have to say our Gnuso L'Kol Ram? It says, Gemara Lo Tema Gnuso. It's not genuso, ela emot saro. Really, it's more suffering, not the genuso. It's not the aver element, but it's more the suffering that we have. And the Gemara is going to explain that. Kidetanya, as we learned from Amitzora, the tame yikro, he's going to be called it that he's tame. Zarech lo diat saro l'rabim, that his saro, his pain, has to be told to people. V'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim, and the rabim will be mevakish for him. Rachamim, v'chol mi she'era bo davar, when something happens to a person, zarech lo diat l'rabim, v'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. It should be told to people so people can try to beg mercy from Hashem for that person, rachamim. Brings me unbelievable. It's a beautiful wedding we had last night in Klal Yisrael. David, thanks for posting pictures. Unbelievable to see that how Klal Yisrael formed together. I saw online that a car company sent them a rental car, and that like the amount of money that was raised from instantaneously, tens of thousands of dollars just from around the world. That when we
not only that last night when they were walking around, I saw just people giving them envelopes. You know,
unbelievable. So when people go through challenging times, Klal Yisrael, we're together, we're one nucleus, we're one entity, and we feel that and we come together. Baruch Hashem, we're a part of a special nation. Gufa Amar V'yochem Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Mivnei Ma Tiknu Tzvil B'lachash, Shlo Levayish Sover Avera. Why is Tzvil B'lachash? Why is it quiet so that we shouldn't embarrass people? Shari L'chol Kos Amokam Min Chatzis La'ula. Because it won't, because the Torah did not differentiate between Chatzis and Ola. This is Marfa Lo. Really, the Torah doesn't differentiate between Chatzis and Ola. V'ko Damim, the blood. Dam Chatzis L'malav, Dam Ola L'mata. We have a Chuta Sikra on the Mizbeach, this line. The Dam Chatzis goes above the line, but Dam Ola goes below the line. So the Torah does differentiate. So, oh, look at it. Just wait, watch where he's going to spread. Oh, Chatas guy. Oh, Ola guy. No, so the Torah does tell us who they are, and therefore the Torah does differentiate. And therefore, maybe the person should say his tefillah out loud because we do embarrass people. Awesome, wait, Kohen Hudiyada. It's just the Kohen. Not like everybody's watching, it's just the Kohen there. The Chatas Nekeva Ola Zachar. But wait, the Chatas is Nekeva and the Ola is a Zachar. So we could tell. And Sigmar, Hasam Mixo Ba'alia. The tail covers it up. You can't tell the gender of a sheep or whatever right away. Says more Tenach Kifsa, the sheep, okay, but Seira Michael Namer, a goat which doesn't have that type of tail, what are you able to say? Hosam Ihu Dukam Mixav Nashe, Di Boile Lasui Kivsa Vikamaise Seira, because a person could bring a sheep. So it's his choice to bring a goat, which the person can't tell male or female, but otherwise the Torah gives him a chance to cover it up. Chatas Davodus Kovam Delo Sayilav Seira, Michael Namer, but there's one area of a chatas where the Torah makes sure that you have to bring a si'ira, a goat, and not a sheep. That's where avodas kochavim, Michael Mimra. So what do we say there? And she's like, hasam nichsiv v'nezil, ki hechid nichbar lei. You're right. If a person does avodazara, the Torah ensures that he has to bring that type of goat, because here he needs the embarrassment to have the rachim from Hashem. Two dots, Baruch Hashem, the Kriya Shema right here is coming up. Source for the Kriya Shema, Shabbos is daf 33. And let's pick up again about 7-8 lines up from Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, which is going to discuss the nace when the Jews crossed the Yarden going into Eretz Yisrael from Sefer Yoshua, that also the Yarden split, something that's not often discussed. The Yarden split also. We talk about Kriya Shema, so the Yarden split there too. And very, very exciting stuff that's coming up ahead. I wish everybody a beautiful Shabbos.